Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Katie Worry. Katie is the Garden and Nutrition Coordinator for pre-K through 8th grade at Eustis RSU, which is in Stratton, Maine. Katie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Well, first thing I ask everybody is to tell us a little bit more about what you do, what your role is, and a little bit about the school that you work at.
Yeah, sure. So it's pre-K through 8th, as it was said, and it's a small rural school in western Maine. We're right by Sugarloaf Mountain, which is kind of a landmark that a lot of people might know from Maine. My background a little bit is I have a master's degree in curriculum development and writing and education with a BA in developmental psychology. I had my endorsement in special ed and gifted and talented. I'm a Maine guide, and also I have my 50-ton captain's license. So I love kids. I love being outside. Project-based learning is kind of my passion. I've taught all grades. I was in middle school for 11 years, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade ELA social studies teacher. This is my first year in this role as the garden and nutrition coordinator, and I'm enjoying getting back to the littles a little bit, but still enjoying the love of middle school. RSU, we split from MSD 58 about 12, 13 years ago, because the district was cutting the budget and was going to close the school, and the community really rallied together to save the school. And so that's how Eustis RSU was formed. And we have a great school. It's very outside. We do a lot of outside experiential learning. We're by Flagstaff Lake, so we have canoes and Rangeley boats. And I've been working really hard at connecting curriculum and all of the standards that we need to teach to project-based learning, to hands-on skills, working with the teachers really closely, and just kind of, building strong relationships with them and working on the 20th century skills for teachers and staff and students, and just kind of helping to support, create a healthy learning environment for kids.
What is a 50-ton captain? I don't know what that is.
Oh.
I'm curious.
I grew up down on the coast, and so I have my captain's license. So basically,
so this is boat, right? You're talking about a boat, right?
Boats. Okay. For boats. So if the boat is 50 tons or less, I am certified to be a captain on it, and I have my sailing endorsement. In the summertime, I'm the director of a sailing school for ages 10 and above.
So you're outside a lot.
I try.
Yeah. So how do you, it gets cold in Maine. I'm always curious, how do you do garden and nutrition in the winter versus the summer? I mean, now it's starting to warm up a little bit, but school's more in the cold than it is in the summer. So
it's true. You have to be creative, and it really is a culture of the school. A lot of the kids' parents work at Sugarloaf, or they work outside in different ways. So the kids are used to being outside, I feel like, more. I feel pretty lucky for that. We do a ski skate program with the mountain. So the kids get to ski or go ice skating or snowboarding or cross country skiing for an afternoon in the middle of winter time. We do a winter carnival. I do more of the nutrition programming. So we do a lot with like healthy communities and the nurse. And we talk about like healthy eating habits and what's, healthy snacks. And we have worm bins, and we had composting. We're kind of getting back into a little bit more. And we just kind of keep the kids engaged that way.
You went from healthy snacks to worm bins.
Well, we kind of work together, soil to get to plants.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. I love that. Nutrition is, and how is the school, like, if you're doing, like, healthy nutrition, are they, is that flowing over into what the children are offered at like lunch and snacks and those kinds of things? How are you navigating that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're really lucky. We have a new cook, which is the food coordinator for the district, and she is really open to working together. So she got a salad bar back in the school, for example. That's been something that the kids and the staff has been asking for a long time, like probably 10 years. And so she figured out funding to be able to do that, and the kids love it. So she's amazed. She's like, the kids go through like 20 heads of romaine lettuce in a week. And I mean, for a very small school with probably like, 60 kids eating lunch, she was really impressed with that. So the food coordinator of the school really has a lot to do with the support of a nutrition program. We work together a lot too. So if she has extra food, or if she knows that I'm going to be cooking something, we work together to be able to budget. So, like for example, this morning she had leftover strawberries and she's like, hey, do you want to make smoothies with one of your classes? And I said, sure. So we talked about, yogurt and milk and strawberries, and the kids got to make and eat smoothies. So that's just one example. Tomorrow we have our middle school cook-off, which is kind of a little bit bigger of a deal, where they learn portion control and serving size. And this year it was cultures around the world. And basically it's kind of a long thing, but the very brief synopsis is that they break up into the groups. They have to learn about the different positions in a kitchen. So there's executive chef, sous chef, dishwasher, prep, all of those. And they switch around and they pick their recipe. They have a budget for $40 to feed 40 people, and they have to go shopping. We're going to go down to the local grocery store tomorrow, and they pick out their stuff. And then they have a certain time that they cook, and they have to present it to judges, which are the superintendent, a owner of a restaurant locally, and a community volunteer that's pretty involved with the school. And they're so into it. They're really excited. And then their highlight gets to be connected to the kitchen, so she'll cook the winning meal for lunch for the whole school.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And what a feather in their cap to be the one that wins, right? Especially when you have a restaurant person there. That's awesome. That is really fantastic. What is the biggest challenge that you find in running this program?
Oh, I think all teachers would say time. Mm-hmm. But I also, this program, I've been kind of supporting it since the school district started. One of the school board members came to us as a staff and said, hey, do you guys want to start gardens? And myself and the first grade teacher, who's now the principal, were like, yeah, let's get these kids out. So fifth grade and first grade ran the gardens a lot. And jumping to now, where all of the teachers are involved in some way, and just having that buy-in and support and building those relationships and really making it a part of the school culture is a really long time-staking process it takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of love, and it takes, commitment from not only me, who has, managed.
You're the champion, yeah.
Move from the classroom into more of a broader perspective. But also I think also making sure that everything that I'm doing is tying to the curriculum. So it's taking something off the plate for the teachers than putting something on. Because I know as a teacher, I'm like, yeah, that would be great, but I just don't have the time to plan that, or I can't think of how I'm going to push this into my classroom. So a lot of the teachers who I've been teaching with for a really long time are like, this is awesome. I'm glad that we get to do this. You're planning it and executing it, and I get to watch the kids and do the follow-up and then connect it to them. So,
So where do you tie it the most, do you think?
Where do I tie it the most? That's a good question. I think, well, probably cooking. Cooking's probably the easiest one to tie.
Right. Okay.
Because you have the math. I mean, they have the recipes. They're reading the recipes. You can do social studies for, you know, what is the history for the this food. Or you can tie it into, like, cultures of food or the community of food or the history of a food item. You're doing science because you're creating something, you're watching chemical reactions, and then they, if you write a reflection afterwards and they get to really, they're doing, you know, then that's the ELA piece.
Right.
And then they also, they're team building, they're using real life skills. So it's
all the way across. It's touching on everything. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but it's really neat. You know, it is the same thing as, you know, as a speech therapist, it's like, what are we talking about? Well, can you give me a topic and we can make a language lesson about it, you know, whatever it is. Give me a book and I can make an articulation story for you. You know, it just is, it's the same thing. It's like you just, so much of what we do as educators is not in a box. It's not, it's never siloed, you know, it's like impossible to silo something. And I think that when you make that connection across so many different topics in so many different areas, it's just giving the kids a well-rounded, making the connection, how math is in there, how language is in there, how science is in there, and it all connects together. And that's really great. I love that. That's really good. Yeah. And then, of course, you have to scale it based on the grade that you're working on, right? So, yeah. So what do you think is the most rewarding part for you? And what would you say is the most rewarding part for the kids?
Well, I'll go with the kids first. I think for them, the most rewarding thing is watching things grow. Mm. So they get to plant the garden. They fifth grade planted out the garden, so they did crop rotation and companion planting, for example. First and second grade planted bulbs. They did tulips, daffodils, and allium bulbs, and then they've watched them grow. And the kids are really involved in, you know, what is this seed? What is it going to grow into? What can I do? And then in the fall, when they come back to school, they harvest it, and then we make a community meal, and we do a school-wide cooking day. The middle school sets it all up. They serve it. The community comes in. We serve 150 people. It grows every year. And the kids are just proud. Like, they just can't wait to show their parents, you know, what they grew and what they cooked and now what they're going to share with them at sitting down and eating. So that's pretty powerful for the kids to be able to see the true, like, seed to plate piece. For me, I think the most rewarding thing is watching kids learn how to be a team and problem solve, and also developing compassion for another living thing. Mm. Some of the kids are, you know, and plants will show you. I've got, you know, these plants, some of them, like, they're great. They're like little shoots and they're not going any further. And other ones are like going crazy. And kids are like, well, why does hers look so good? And I'm like, well, remember when I said give them love? Or remember when I said don't pull that bulb up because the roots are forming? It's gardening and it's nutrition and it's cooking, but it's also a lot of real life skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Nature will tell you when you do it right and when you don't, won't it? So what do you do in the summer? I know you talked about harvesting in the fall. Who manages what you've planted in the spring? Is that you? Or do you have summer programs? How do you manage that?
Yeah. We have, for many years, we've had volunteers. So we've had families that just take a week. We have an automated service. So right now I'm in the growing dome for watering. So we have soaker hoses in here that are on timers. And then we have a sprinkler outside. And then, you know, we watch, of course. I come at least once a week and just look. And we coordinate with the school chef again for any produce that's ready. We have a summer program. So the kids are, this summer is the first time that they're going to be in the garden. And they'll be harvesting everything and really taking care of it. For me, in the summertime, I go down to the coast, and then I run that that sailing program. Wow. So I'm a little bit more back and forth in the summertime.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. How far is the coast for you from where you are?
It's about 2.5 hours.
Oh, so it's not a quick trip. That is not a quick trip. That's 5 hours round trip. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, good for you. That is that the kids are blessed because of what you're doing for sure. And it shows. So congratulations on that. Okay. So last question. And this is a question I ask most everybody. If you could miraculously solve one challenge in the school, what would you want to solve?
Oh, besides budget.
Yeah.
I think like just giving teachers more time and support to be able to reach everybody. I mean, we're a small school. Our biggest class is 15, so we're pretty lucky that each kid gets what they need. And nobody really slides through the cracks. But if I could miraculously change, yeah, I would. A lot of it just has to tie with budget.
Money. I get it.
I mean, we would do more field trips if we could, you know, have the bus more. But I feel like this school is pretty good. We have a really supportive community. So as long as we know kind of like a big ticket item ahead of time, and we've set goals for that, then we can usually reach it pretty well. I mean, it would be great if everybody, you know,
It's okay. It's okay. Money is always a concern. You know, it really is. It's always, money's always one of those things that there's never enough of, is there? So, and you know, yeah, you can always do more if you have more money, for sure. So I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think more of a...
No, it's a good answer. And I spring it on people. So it's kind of an unfair. I don't give people a heads up that I'm asking that question because I really want an honest answer. And that is the thing that is making your job the most difficult is not having and budgets are constant. They never go away. You know, it's always something that especially when you're in a leadership role in schools, the money's always tight. It just is. Yeah. So, well, Katie, thank you so much for your time. This has been a really great conversation. I really hope that somebody else can see what you're doing and maybe even get a grain of something they can, you know, take from it and apply to what they're doing with their kids. So where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about what you're doing or about your school?
Yeah. You can visit the strattonschool.org is the school website. And that has our programming on it. Me and a coworker went to a National Geographic training for the Geo Inquiry. That's where a lot of my base comes from. That's a free resource right online if they to National Geographic Geo Inquiry. If you're in Maine, Maine has this program called Solutionaries, and I think it's solutionaries.org. And they also have some pretty good project-based learning. Kids Gardening has a curriculum that is nationwide. It's not really tied to Maine. And I take a lot of resources off of that. And that's really, it's an easy source to use, and it has really short snippets. I helped co-write a curriculum particularly for Maine for gardening, but it can be used anywhere, and that's at the Greater Franklin Food Council website. So those are some places to get started.
All right. Well, those are some great resources. Thank you so much. Once again, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, and I just wish you and your team all the best.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.